94 WHN. Mobile.
WHN, Kilo Alpha 4, November, India Victor, KA4NID.
Today, sir.
Gonna make it. It's been a good day so far. How about yourself?
Very relaxing for me. It has not been a busy day.
When you can get them. And this has been kind of an intense week for me, but today was good. I was able to chill back and play radios and just have all kinds of fun. So my name is Maurice, Mike Alpha Uniform Romeo India Charlie Echo, and I'm in Simpsonville, over.
Sir, my name is Mark, and I'm license says I'm in Greer, but that's where my mailman lives. I'm somewhere right in the middle of Greenville, Taylor's, and Greer, but my mailman lives in Greer, so that's my formal QTH. But as it happens, my week was fairly relaxed as well. We got kind of a low period for business, which is usually not a good thing, but there's so much on the horizon. It's kind of nice to have a break.
Calm before the storm. What kind of business are you in?
Training and partner readiness for a little technology company called Microsoft.
Good. Yep, I've got several computers running that, and I'm trying to prepare for the demise of Windows 10. I got a couple of programs that will get to where they run with Windows 11 only. So I went out and bought a laptop with 11 on it. Still trying to get used to that, over.
Sadly, a transition is as I had feared it would be. We adopted it pretty early because we had to talk about it, but it's different, but it's not wildly different, and I think the whole world is going to be struggling with that very same thing here in about 4 or 5 months.
Well, for companies that have 100 PCs and what we call a virtual, they've got 100 different virtual setups, and all under Windows 10. So they're going to have a handful trying to get to 11.
Well, the virtual machines are easy because you just destroy the ones you have, delete the file, and then you go out there and create new ones. It's the laptops and the desktops and everything else that won't run Windows 11 that make it difficult.
I haven't thought about that. I was not in the network world in my career. I was at well, they call it mainframes now, but it's the old IBM iSeries, AS400, yada yada, whatever they call them this week.
They call them midframes.
That's the one. My entire career has been small to mid-range computers. Yeah, for business, and which is good because being the only guy in the department, sometimes you get to do it all.
This time in proximity of System 36, System 38, AS400, all sorts of stuff, and I can't tell you the number of Irma 2 and Irma 3 cards I put in, and TwinX that I've run, and just stuff that I really don't have any desire to go back and do anymore.
Good memories. I ran a bunch of TwinX myself, and then we got to where we had 9600 baud modems with dedicated lines going from our office to the computer center downtown in Greenville, and having to deal with 9600 and all of its idiosyncrasies was an adventure. And now everybody's got these big, huge internet pipes coming out of their facilities, and nobody thinks about that anymore.
You were able to do so much with, you know, even 300 baud connections when it was a green screen. And then you could do, you could solve the world's problems at 300 baud, but, you know, when they started to put the graphical user interfaces in, they started putting the pictures in, and HTML became a thing, then suddenly bandwidth was king.
I remember those days. I was trained on a green screen, and the standalone 50-something 24 terminal from IBM. Goodness, I can't remember the exact number on it, but I spent my first couple of years banging away on that thing as a programmer. And then when we got to go to PC with terminal emulation on it, and we had a PC with the emulation program did all kinds of things, like connections for, oh my goodness, file transfer and, goodness, I'm trying to remember all that it would do. And we thought we'd dive and gone to heaven when we did that.
The whole technology world keeps going in cycles. I had a conversation with a mainframe guy that just kind of laughed when we started talking about virtualization. He's like, oh, yeah, you mean like they've been doing on IBM mainframes since the 60s?
Yeah, I went to Carolina and got a computer science degree. One of my professors and her husband had worked for Bell Labs up in New Jersey, and this is back in the mid-60s. And they were all excited about the fact that they could sit down at a teletype terminal in their office and have connection to their mainframe computer. That was the neatest thing back then.
How it all works and how it all gets put together, I'm glad that I don't have to figure all that stuff out, because it definitely requires a brighter mind than I, but I got pretty good at putting it all on people's desks and making sure that they could get into it.
That's a good thing. We need fellows like you, and you have my undying respect, over.
Now, I went from desktop support to networking to all sorts of security and firewalls and VPNs, and now I'm out there teaching people how to play in the cloud, so I got to figure out whether I need a meteorology degree.
I never thought of that, but yeah. That's what it is now. I mean, that's even our the last AS-400 we had was in a remote location in Norcross, Georgia, Atlanta. And we had a system down there that in this big building with a whole bunch of servers in it, and we got our VPN into that facility, and they handled all the backups and all the power backups. They had like six generators on the property, and so when they we get a storm coming up through, they actually and park them on the lot in case the weather got so bad they couldn't get fuel. That was a huge facility. And that was 2010, somewhere along in there. I retired in 2016. But, I know what it was back then. It's got to be infinitely more complicated now.
Well, that sounds like they were smarter than a lot of people, because they can't tell you the number of folks that went, oh, no, we got a diesel generator out back, and it'll run for 4 days. And it's like, well, what if the roads aren't open in 4 days? What happens when you run out of gas? And suddenly you get that kind of blank expression on their face. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I mean, I guess that could happen. And, man, since then I've seen that happen a few times.
Especially what Helene went through, I guess there was a whole bunch of people that got to experience lack of IT infrastructure. So we had a generator on our property at the plant there that it kept power up for servers, routers, and even as far as the individual workstations, which were powered off of that. And they fired it up once a month just to make sure it was working. When it did, it got loud. My office was just down the hall from the door that was right next to that thing, and I had to get up and move sometimes so I could hear myself think.
KQ4 WHN for ID. Yeah, that's my favorite story on business continuity is a company we have here in Greenville that probably everybody has heard of. During an ice storm, we came up and found them. Well, it was one of our customers. We came up and found one of the IT folks had all the doors open, and they were running box fans out to the outside. Now, during an ice storm, it's in the 20s, and we found out that the air conditioning system for the IT data center, the compressor up on the roof, had enough condensate on it that it froze over and nothing was moving through it anymore. So it was 100 plus degrees in the data center, and it was 20 something degrees outside. So that was quite the dichotomy.
Yeah, me too. I worked with Spartanburg Steel over in Spartanburg, and was there for, oh my goodness, 08 to 16, I think so. Yeah, 07, 08. The first time they tried to put a separate unit in for that our server room. And, we exceeded the heat capacity real quick one day.
So your weekend and all your night plans are just ruined, just absolutely ruined.
It's not good to do what you wanted to do. Well, you just have to, hang around. And I stayed around just to support the guys that did all the work. And mid-range was off somewhere. And as long as we had routers and VPN lines, we could still work. And out in the plant, it was 30 degrees out in the plant, and they were still making steel, banging steel, right? We put a hurting on some servers that day.
One second, I got some traffic with a lot of kids on the road and a swim team meet going on here. I want to give my full attention to the road.
Thank you for WHN, KA4NR, I'll be there.
It was fun. That was a half a mile of people in bathing suits and cars parked all along the side of the road and kids running out in front of moving vehicles, and that was chaos, but I made it through. The road it's in is called Devinger Place, I believe.
And we're down off of Highway 14 there, Woodruff Road. Thursday nights is when they have their swim meets, and this is about the time of year when they get serious with it. I guess we probably got a swim team up there right now. Every so often they'll have it here, and you really have to be on your toes getting in and out of the neighborhood.
Not something I wasn't expecting, but something I forgot to avoid. But, man, there's a bunch of people there. It's a little bigger than normal, so it must be one of the more important ones.
Things like classics and divisionals, and if you get to win your age group and the divisional, then you go to classics, and then that determines the champions for the season. Next door neighbors used to be really involved with that. Now the kids are growing up now. I've got a lot of respect for the people to put those events on.
Imagine sitting there for 10 hours watching kids swim, but I went through my share of volleyball and soccer and baseball, so I guess it all evens out.
The first to talk about in there. Our boys were both managers on their basketball teams. They weren't tall enough to actually play on the team. They were fairly newcomers to the school, so they didn't fit into the local aristocracy. But they had to be managers. They could go out and sweep the floor between the halves and wash the uniforms, and they worked hard at what they did. So I'm proud of them. They did well.
Did school give them a letter along with the rest of the team?
No, I think they should have.
Hard whether you're on the field or not. You deserve some sort of recognition.
My oldest, he was on the basketball team, manager for the basketball team. And they traveled to some kind of conference, some competition up in Tennessee, and the games ran late, and they handed him their uniforms after the game, and he stayed up all night washing, running through the laundry machines of the local laundromat. He liked it. He was just glad to serve.
See, I'm mainframe adjacent. I guess he was basketball adjacent. It is fun to get in there and look around and be part of it, and hopefully the team adopted him.
And he was just a part of the team as much as the guys that played the tall positions. As a matter of fact, the coach was doing a drill and driving the net, and they stuck David in there at the low post and said, "You stand there and don't let them charge you. So you have to take the charge." And he did. He's big enough, even though he was skinny. They adopted him at least that day anyway, because they knew he was willing to do that for the team.
Servant's heart. That's always good to have that guy in your corner.
Where did your kids go to school?
Well, we're over here on this side of town, so everybody went to Eastside High School, and the girls went off to North Greenville University, and my son couldn't wait to start working, so Michelin put him through a course at Greenville Tech, and now he makes tires.
And, he's got my respect if he did the technical and went to work for Michelin. It's an interesting company to work for, is my understanding. My wife taught at Eastside, as a matter of fact, through 2008, and then she retired. And her mom moved in with us. She had to take care of her mom. But she was at Eastside for 9 years, I think. She was their French teacher. Good career. She gave us all the insurance that we need right now.
KQ4WHN. Yes, sir. That state health plan is pretty nice. My father ended his career working for the Department of Health and Environmental Control, and I made it 1 year, and I decided that wasn't for me. But I did get to see a lot of Department of Health offices that 1 year I was there. But she's my mother's still living and living well on that mix of PIBA and the Medicare. She doesn't have many medical bills, which is nice.
Yep, you're right, PIBA, that's it. I have put a hurting on my insurance in recent years. I started having heart troubles and kidney troubles and all kinds of troubles that just have to learn to live with it. But I've spent some time in the hospital that I don't think we paid a dime between Medicare and PIBA. If it was, it wasn't much. And we are indeed blessed in that area.
Her turned the dial, I guess, far enough that she ended up on Medicare. And she's like, I wasn't so sure about that old government health plan, but, man, it sure is nice not having to pay all those bills. So she's a big fan, and I got a few years to go, but I'll get to experience it at some point. So I hope it's still there, and I hope it still works well.
As long as Medicare and Social Security can go, then we'll be able to get all of our bills paid and a little bit more. Give me some money to play with radios and stuff. Okay, well, let me let you go. I've been trying to find something to eat here. I haven't had supper yet. I have no clue what I'm going to fix. Or maybe get my wife to fix, but I'm starting to get hungry. So let me let you go. Really enjoyed the chat, Shane, and appreciate you coming back to me there. I guess I came back to you. But thank you for WHN, K4NIV. I'll listen for your final.
Yes, sir. I'm destinating right now, so timing is perfect. Enjoy whatever you find to eat, and I'll look to talk to you later. This is KQ4WHN. I'm clear.